How's that? Philippians chapter 3. And I want to read quite a few verses here. Well, people kind of lose interest when you start reading a lengthy passage. So I think I'll shorten this and then go back. How's that? Would that be all right? Let's look at verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Dear Lord, bless your word tonight. And God, help me, give me physical strength and give me clarity of mind. Lord, I pray that you would help the listeners tonight. Bless everyone here by your word. God, I'm unable to do anything without your help and your strength. And Lord, we need the Holy Spirit here. We pray for his presence. And God, that you would make every one of us consider these things from your word tonight. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And amen. Paul here said, I press toward the mark. Now, that may not mean anything to you younger people, but as you get older, you've got to press yourself. You've got to make yourself go when you don't feel like going. You've got to have some drive about you. The old timers, you say, you got to have some grit in your crawl. You got to have a little bit of sand in your pants. Listen, it's not easy. Life's not easy. Saved or lost, life's not easy. But the Christian life's not easy either. Paul said, I press toward the mark. In verse 13, Paul said, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Paul had a focus, didn't he? Paul had one thing. You know, a lot of people have a one thing. They get wrapped up in one thing. They've got a one-track mind. And some people, it's a hobby or a car. Or some people, it's sports. Or some people, it's making money. Some people, it's spending money. That's I've been making money. Evelyn's been spending money. That's the way we roll. But a lot of people have one-track mind, don't they? Well, Paul had a one-track mind, so to speak. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I noticed some phrases Paul used here. One of them was, he said, reaching forth. Reaching forth, that means he's constantly reaching ahead. You know, a church has to be able to do that. A church needs to reach forth. I wrote down goals last year of the things we wanted to do here. I think we got a couple of them done. We need to do better. We need to do better at reaching our goals as a church. Reaching forth. And there's the mark. The mark is the finish line. The finish line. There's a prize, isn't there? There's a prize to be won. There, heaven is the goal. A new glorified body. Isn't that going to be good? To have a new glorified body with no pain and no suffering and no sickness and no tiredness and all these things that plague us today in our bodies. That's all going to be gone one of these days. So we've got a eternal life. The mark is eternal life. The goal is eternal joy, eternal health. Press toward it. Paul said, I press toward these things. And our mind should be heavenly minded, folks. We should be heavenly minded. Our goal is heaven. Reach for that goal. Press toward that mark. Follow after these things. I got news for you. If you have no desire to follow after heavenly things or no desire for holiness, I've got a big question mark over your Christianity. You should have some kind of desire in you that makes you want to press forward, that makes you want to press on. So if reaching forth to know Him better or to be more like Him is not your desire, you need to ask why that is. That should be every one of our desires as Christians, is to be more like Him and to press toward the mark. I notice here He said, I follow after. I follow after. And I reach forth and I press toward. But then He said something else that caught my attention this evening. He said, forgetting those things. Forgetting those things. And you know what? If you look behind me and if you look behind you, there's some things there we need to forget. There's some of our past we need to forget. Some of our failures we need to forget. Some of the things where we've failed God, we need to forget. You can't move forward if you're wallowing in self-pity and looking back at the mistakes you've made, because we've all made them. And you need to press on. And Paul said, I forget those things that's behind me, and I press forward. But there is a group in this passage, in Philippians chapter 3, who will not press forward and who will not reach forth and will not follow after Paul's example. Notice verse 17, he says, brethren, be followers together of me. I wish I could tell you that. I can, to a degree, but I don't think I could measure up to what Paul was. And I don't believe that I would want you to see me all the time. And I don't think I'd want you to follow my example all the time. But Paul said, be followers together of me. To me, that means Paul was quite a man. Paul was quite an example to the Christian. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them. Remember, we saw that in the Bible this morning. He said, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And then verse 18, he says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So there were a group of people who weren't following after, who weren't pressing toward the mark, who weren't following Paul's example. And Paul said they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Can I tell you something today? One of the worst enemies of Christianity is not the guy that owns the strip joint or the guy that owns the liquor store or the guy that owns the gambling den. Some of the worst examples of and some of the worst enemies to the cross of Christ is people who say they're Christians and don't live right. That is some of the worst enemies to the cross of Christ. So Paul said, I tell you, even weeping. He realized the damage that people can do. They were the enemies of the cross of Christ, those who will not walk according to Paul's example, were the enemies to the cross of Christ. They gave Christianity a bad name. I've met a few people like that, and by the grace of God, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to give my Savior a bad name. I don't want to give my church a bad name. I don't want to give my Lord a bad name. I want to walk in such a way that people somehow see Christ in me. I know I fail Him, and I'm sure you can probably say the same thing, that you fail Him, but there should be a desire in you to want to please the Lord. So these people Paul mentions here, they give Christianity, they hurt the cause of Christ. Well, you know, sinners use that as an excuse a lot of times. I've heard this a lot of times. Well, if he's a Christian, you know, or if she's a Christian, you ever heard that? That's how they start it. Well, that, there's some truth to that. But, you know, I'm reminded of a story Brother Hanley Milby said one time. He kept inviting this fellow to the church, and he said, no, he said, church full of hypocrites. But one time he finally got him to come to church, and he got saved. And he, after he was born again, the preacher said, well, what about those hypocrites? And the guy looked around, tears flowing down his face. He said, I don't see any now. There's some truth to that, and the devil will use that in a sinner's mind as an excuse. I told you when I got saved, in my mind, I had listed every mean deacon and every cussing deacon and every preacher that ran off with the secretary. I knew all of it. And when that preacher got to my house that Saturday, I was going to tell him about every bit of it. But God's bigger than the devil. And when that preacher come to my house, I decided by the grace of God not to fool with none of that. I just said I'd like to get saved. I had a desire. God put a desire in me to trust Christ and forget about all that other stuff. See, that didn't really concern me. That was their problem. If there was a deacon that didn't know how to behave himself, that's his problem. If there was a preacher ran off the secretary, that's his problem. My problem was with the Lord, between me and God, not between me and the deacon. Now, he had done damage, or that preacher had done damage, and the devil had used it, but still, a lot of people just use that for an excuse, don't they? So, these people Paul mentions here, they gave Christianity a bad name, and they have a tendency to tell the people that they can still have the world and Christ at the same time, you know. And that's not true. You can't have the world and Christ at the same time. They walk the opposite of Paul. And the Bible tells us here in verse 2 of chapter 3, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. These were people, they were evil workers. And then in verse 3, there were people that Paul mentioned who had confidence in the flesh. Now, we don't see much of that today, but the Jews were a proud people. And they had confidence that they were the children of Abraham. They thought they were going to be okay because they were the children of Abraham. Well, that's not good enough. Your natural birth is not going to get you into heaven. I don't care if you're the son of a king or the daughter of a king. That's not good enough. And Paul said there were some people that had confidence in the flesh. And then he said that there were people in verse 8. I believe Paul mentions this. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. There's some people who aren't willing to lose anything. If Christianity's going to cost them something, they're not interested. If Christianity's going to cost them something, they'll just, no thank you. Paul said he lost everything. He said he counted all of it but loss. These things, Paul said, they're like dung. They're nothing to me. Isn't that what he said? Verse 7, he said, but what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. There's nobody, I don't even have to ask, there's nobody in this room who could say that tonight. You haven't lost all things. Paul said, I've lost all things and I count it just nothing. Nothing. And then in verse 9, he says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. There were some who were seeking to establish their own righteousness. You know, there's some people that's trying to, they've joined the do-gooder club, and they coach the little league hockey team, and they just do all kinds of good stuff around the neighborhood, and they hang up Christmas lights on the flagpole, and they just do everything that the city council says to do and the city dads say to do, and they've joined all the organizations, and they attend the little church down the street on every other Sunday or so if they feel like it. And buddy, they're just a great fella or a great lady. They're trying to establish their own righteousness. There's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people like that. They think that they've got this idea. I don't know where they got it. I'm not sure where it came from. I know it's from the devil. But they got this idea that God's got this great big set of brass scales up in heaven, and he's putting all your little good deeds you've done and in one side of it, and he's putting all the little bad deeds you've done on the other side of it, and hopefully your good deeds is going to outweigh your bad deeds. But that's not how you get to heaven, is it? They went to establish their own righteousness, and we've got, I'm telling you, the woods is full of them, people trying to establish their own righteousness. You can't do it. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags, the Bible says. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. We're vile, guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was he. I'm telling you, the only hope is in Jesus Christ, and Paul knew that. Paul said he wasn't trying to establish his own righteousness. Paul was not trying to, he said, I am not trying to, verse 9, he says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. You know where I want to be, Tim? I want to be found in him. When I get to heaven, the only thing I'm going to be able to claim is him. The only thing I'm going to be able to say is I'm here by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that alone. He is my only hope. He is my only refuge. I have no other hope. I have no other refuge. I have no other place to go but the cross and be found in him. I want to be found in him. Are you in him? That's where you want to be tonight, is found in him, is it not? Not only that, isn't it good to know that when you're found in him, he's in you? When you trust Christ, he moves in. By the Holy Spirit, he takes residence in your heart. One of the reasons you'll know he moves in is he moves the furniture around. He moves things around in your life, doesn't he? He changes your priorities. He changes your wanter. You know, you Baptists, you think you can get saved and do anything you want to. Yeah, I know, but he changed my want to. I don't want to do the things I used to do. I'm grieved when I do the things I used to do. He's working on me. So Paul said, I'm not trying to establish my own righteousness. But there were people that were trying to do that. There's people who don't care to know God anymore. They're content where they are. That's not good, folks. Listen, you ought to have a spiritual appetite about you. I mean, listen, if you brought home a little baby and it didn't want to eat, you wouldn't put up that very long. You'd be back down calling the pediatrician. Say, my baby won't eat. What's going on? Why is that? Because that's a sign of not being healthy, isn't it? And let me tell you something. If a Christian, a person, I don't care if they saved when they was 5, 15, or 50, if they don't have a spiritual appetite, there's something wrong there. There's something wrong about that. There ought to be some desire to have a, to grow, to take in some nutrients, to take in something spiritual. So, there's some people though, this world is their home. This world is their home. That's Clendenin right there. I told Evan I'm going to get a hacksaw and cut both exhausts off the cars. And I'm going to come across the bridge full bore every time. At 2 a.m. Now, I like loud cars, just not at 2 a.m. This world is their home. But you know what? To the Christian, this world is not our home, is it? This world is, don't drive your tent stakes too deep, because you're getting ready to, what we call in the military, you're getting ready to jump. You're getting ready to move. This world is not our home. And I'll tell you something else. They love this present world. I don't love this present world. I'll be quite frank with you. This present world gets on my nerves. I don't love this present world. This present world grieves my spirit. When I go somewhere and see the way people live and talk and act and behave, it grieves me. I'm not happy here. I'm a foreigner here. I'm not content here, being here. I'm here because God's placed me here and He's left me here for a reason. But listen, I'm looking for a better place. I'm looking for a better city. I'm looking for a place there is no sin, there is no death, there is no sickness. I'm looking for somewhere different. But these people Paul mentions here, they were enemies of the cross. They were also friends with the world. And James said, if you're a friend with the world, you're at enmity with God. You can't have it both ways, friend. You can't be a friend with the world and be a friend to God at the same time, because the God of this world is not the God of heaven. So, they don't follow after holiness. Verse 12, Paul says, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. Paul said, I haven't arrived. I haven't attained. I'm not perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I'm following after. You know what Paul said? Paul said, if I can put this in our language, God's got a hold of me and I'm getting a hold of Him. I'm trying to apprehend the one who's apprehended me. I'm following after the Lord Jesus Christ. So, these are the enemies. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He wrote this, if I remember right, from a prison cell. He turned the world upside down from a jail cell, Paul did. He's still turning the world upside down. These are the enemies of the cross. And I don't want to dwell too much on that, but the Bible says their end is destruction. Their end is destruction. These people who love the world and don't love God, these people who try to establish their own righteousness, these people who won't follow Paul's example, their end is destruction. And their God is their belly. Their God is their belly. What's that mean? That means their belly, it means that they are driven by their passions. They're driven by their passions. They're not driven by the Holy Spirit. They're not driven by their love for Christ. They're driven by their worldly and carnal passions. And he says now, whose glory is in their shame. You know, it's one thing to be it's one thing to do bad, wicked things, but it's another thing to brag about it. And we've got a lot of people today who brag about how wicked they are. They're proud about how wicked they are. We've got people that even say they're Christians who do that. And that's nothing to brag about. They glory in their shame. But, verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our lifestyle is in heaven. I used to work with a fella, and his life was questionable. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if he's saved or not. He's dead now. Sometimes you thought maybe he's saved, and sometimes you wasn't quite sure if he's saved or not by his behavior. But he used to tell me sometimes, he said, you're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. I've never met anybody that was too heavenly minded. I don't believe you can be too heavenly minded. We need to be heavenly minded. Especially in this crazy world we live in. We need to be heavenly minded. One of these days Jesus is coming back. Is he not? I want to be found faithful. Our mind, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. That's where he's coming back from. He's coming back from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He's coming back. Amen. And he's going to subdue all things. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's my king. And he's my Lord. And I want to be what he'd have me to be, don't you? So, his power, it's a mighty power. He's going to put all things under his feet. He's going to give us he's going to get rid of this vile body. And give us, Tim, he's going to give us a new body. A glorious body. A body that doesn't ache and have hurt and pain and suffer. There'll be no surgeries in heaven, amen. There'll be no hospitals in heaven. All that's going to be taken care of. Isn't that good? One of these days we're all going to be healed. We're all going to be healed. So he's got all these things going to be under his feet. Death, hell, sickness, all that's going to be under his feet. So we need to press toward the mark. We need to keep on keeping on, as they say. We need to go when we don't feel like going. We need to praise him when we don't feel like praising him. It's not easy, folks. If it's easy, everybody'd be doing it. Leonard Ravenhill, he's dead now, but he was a Pentecostal pastor, but he was a wise man. He said, Christianity hasn't been tried and found wanting. Christianity has been tried and found difficult. It's not a 100-yard dash. But God, he's working on us, isn't he? And one of these days, we're going to lay all this stuff that's going to be behind us. We're going to put all that off. And in the meantime, we need to press forward. We need to press toward the mark. We just need to keep going. Amen. Now, I'm preaching to me tonight because I haven't felt good all day. But I feel better now. I hope I've helped you somehow to understand that We've got a good God. We've got a good Heavenly Father. And He just wants us to keep going till He says it's time to quit. And one of these days He will. But in the meantime, we've got a race to run. We've got a fight to fight, don't we? So keep going. Keep going. Stand tonight. Thank you for your attention.